Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of the Sports Summit here on Shooting the Sports Ish. And in case you were wondering about James Harden's case for MVP, we'll just look at the schedule of the Houston Rockets over the last 20 games.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on? Howdy, howdy. I have my wolf cup, so I'm good to go.
I'm sorry, I was on a woo until you turned it a little bit more.
Is that woof.com?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's raydunn.com. That's what it is.
There you go.
Shouts out to Ray Dunn just all over my house.
Shoo. All right, guys, we're going to start today off with something very obvious. It happened right as we were doing our last show, but one of the all-time great quarterbacks retires. Drew Brees has announced his retirement from the NFL after 15 years. I believe it's 15 official years. So let's talk about Mr. Brees, guys. Chris, what you got for old Drew?
Try 19 years.
19 total? Let me see my stats total. Here.
2001 through 2020. 15 years in New Orleans, 5 in San Diego.
That's where I missed it. All right. Didn't I added incorrectly? 15 in New Orleans, 5 in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Yep. You are correct.
Yep. Yeah. Who's going first? Am I going first?
You. That's why I told you.
Going oh, sorry.
Lost I was looking at you there, man.
I was checking to see if you were right, and I
too busy fixing me.
Yeah. In my opinion, you know, one of the top 7 quarterbacks to ever play the game of football. Broke a lot of barriers for the small quarterback, and really proved that it's not all about God-gifted talent. It's about working your tail off too. Wasn't the biggest, wasn't the strongest, didn't have the best arm, wasn't the fastest by any means, but busted his hump and had an incredible career.
And who'd have thunk that the New Orleans Saints would have ended up with him when he was drafted in the second round by San Diego, and then is immediately traded for Phillip Rivers. Odd scenario that went on there. I know that I remember that draft.
Yeah, he played in San Diego for 5 years, had the shoulder injury, right? And that's when they chose to go with Phillip Rivers over him.
Over him.
So they drafted Manning and then traded for Rivers.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, let's see, he was 9-7 that year. 64.6% completion percentage. He had a pretty good year. 24 touchdowns.
Interceptions a little high.
Did have 15 picks. Yeah, one of his higher years out of about 4, 5, 6 maybe he had it that high. But, yeah, he was having and progressing along in San Diego very nicely. And then the shoulder injury abruptly ended his run there. Cameron?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of things that you can point back to with Brees' career. One, people were much more wary about bigger injuries back then. So we can see how medicine and technology has progressed. You know, when once upon a time the shoulder injury was the death of a career, and it was. In that
it was the
era.
Tommy John of football for quarterbacks.
100% it was. And now we have guys that are – we have running backs that are coming back from ACL tears in 6 months, you know, and playing. It's
and faster than ever too.
Exactly. It's insane to see that's what it was. And that's what it was though. So you see him as, okay, he broke the mold with supposed career-ending surgeries. He broke a mold for the smaller quarterbacks. You know, there were smaller guys before him, but he was really the guy that everybody will point back to that paved the way for the 6'1" guys. And the third thing is, and you guys pointed it out, he will always be tied to that weird offseason in San Diego history where they had effectively had Drew Brees, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers all in the same offseason at one point or another. I mean, that's just a weird story that will forever be told on Eli's side and Phillip's side and San Diego's side with Drew, but he's intertwined in that. And then going to New Orleans and everything that he did for that city on and off the field being the face of that franchise through Katrina and through the other things that happened with them, you know, he's tied to them forever. And as Chris said, a top seven quarterback, it's really hard to argue that. I'm there with you. The stats that he's had and the markers that he's set at the quarterback position, longevity amongst all the other things is absolutely incredible.
Before you get out of that, Cam, Chris, the three quarterbacks that you mentioned that were all San Diego quarterbacks per se in that one off season, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers. Who ended up with the best of that bargain?
What do you mean? Who ended up
overall? These three quarterbacks went on their ways and all had pretty daggone good careers.
All three of them will be Hall of Famers.
Who had the best?
Philip Rivers shouldn't be.
Philip Rivers shouldn't be all
two of them for sure. We know two for sure.
Who had the best career?
No. Who ended up being the best? Who went to the best place and ended up having the best career because of where they went away from San Diego? Or did Philip Rivers, by staying in San Diego, have the best career of the three? In other words, who had the best career?
So you're asking who is the best? It's Drew Brees.
Yeah, the best situation, I think, is Brees. If you want to argue hardware, you would argue Eli. But either way you slice this, Rivers is coming out third.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means like Brees fell into an incredible spot. Eli won two Super Bowls and took down the Patriots, you know, when nobody thought they could. And then Rivers had what effectively will be a Hall of Fame career, and somehow he came out third and played with LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates, which is just weird.
Junior Seau on a great side of defense. Great defense there when he got there.
Sure, absolutely.
And to think that, and I hope this person isn't attached to any team, Drew Brees was a foot away from being a Miami Dolphin that offseason. But the Dolphins team doctor said, you know, I've looked him over. I'm still a little wary on that shoulder. I don't think he'll be able to make it because of his stature and how much torque he's going to need. And he was like this close to being a Dolphin and how much crazy history would have changed. I mean, he might have been out of the league. We don't know. Or he might have done what he did in New Orleans and Miami. So and maybe Tom Brady wouldn't be a thing.
And that effectively sent Nick Saban back to college.
Mm-hmm.
That move effectively sends Saban back to Alabama. And boom, we have what Alabama is because Brees never ended up in the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, and those little teeny tiny small things, that's one of Eli Manning's Super Bowl wins. That kept him eluding the rush and getting that ball up to Tyree, who caught it off his head. It just shows you how minute things can be in professional sports that can just change a franchise, change the outcome of somebody's career, change the game.
Change multiple careers.
Yeah. Change many careers, as it were.
I mean, there's no question he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He should be having a statue erected outside of the Superdome. It should be Tom Benson Stadium at Drew Brees Field at Tom Benson Stadium or whatever, or at the Tom Benson Superdome. It should be Drew Brees Field, honestly.
Sure.
What he did for that franchise, who was the Aints for so long.
Yeah.
And just to pick them up at like the hardest moment of their career and their team's history and go, you know what? We're going to be a damn good team for 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, up until that point, the Saints legacy had just been Archie Manning running for his life every Sunday for 10 years.
Exactly right.
that was kind of their legacy.
If I ever flipped to a Saints game as a young man or growing up into my 20s and whatnot, I immediately got off it. Because I could not stand to watch the carnage that was going on. Now, when they started getting some good defenses, some Pat Swilling and some Sam Mills there, that's when they started to get defensively good, but still just couldn't get over that hump offensively.
Hey, I don't know what you guys are talking about. One of my favorite, and I will go to the grave saying this, and you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. One of my favorite underrated quarterbacks.
I know who you're going to say. Brooks. I know it. Yep.
Is Aaron Brooks. I loved Aaron Brooks.
Where did Aaron Brooks go to college?
A Newport News kid who went to UVA. The University of Virginia. And, yeah. You know, people forget that he was a pretty damn good quarterback. I mean, he had the talent. It was just, he was on a terrible team.
He was.
How many times?
I mean, look at his career. 2001, 7-9. 2002, 9-7. 2003, 8-8. 2004, 8-8. 2005, 3-10. And then went 0-8 in Oakland. But let's be honest, that 2005 New Orleans team, that 2006 Oakland team is probably two of the worst teams we've seen in the past 25 years.
Sure.
So
Aaron Brooks was solid. He really was.
And yeah. And I mean, the talent that Breeze got to play with in New Orleans, you know, is pretty good stuff. You know, being able to hand the ball off to Deuce McAllister, one of the better names in all of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just found out that Aaron Brooks is also cousins with Michael and Marcus Vick. Just found that out. So
there you go.
Newport News royalty.
You know, and Drew has really made it to where you don't go like this anymore. New Orleans, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go there. It's not that place any longer.
Does he get into coaching? Or do you think he goes to the analyst desk?
I think he stays with NBC because he's already with them for Football Night in America.
Yep.
He's even going to be doing like NBC morning talk shows as well as the Olympics. He's basically going to do what Michael Strahan's done. Mm-hmm. Can I see him get into coaching eventually? Probably not, because he gets to be a coach in the analyst booth when he's calling games. I mean, he'll be able to break things down if he's doing a game calling. I think he's just in the booth right now, on the like the talk show right now. But I think he'll eventually get into the booth and do stuff. It'd be stupid not to. And why, you know, have to put your family through what they've already been through for 20 years and do that again for another 20 when you can just sit back and rake in the cash doing what you love, just talking about football.
I mean, if Tony Romo has laid out a map for anybody, it's Breeze. That's it. That's just your next guy in line.
Yeah.
He's the next Romo. I mean, in that sense of like what, I mean, if Breeze was in the box, like, yeah, that's what you expect. That's the information you expect for him to bring.
Yeah.
And Breeze is one of those few exceptional players that could translate to coaching, because I believe that all the intangibles that he had to have to be as successful as he is what would make him a good coach. He was undersized, so he had to work harder. He had to compensate for this, that, and outwork it. I think he would make a tremendous coach. Well, will he go that way? I doubt it, but I think he'd be wonderful at it.
You look at the top three quarterbacks of this generation, Brady, Manning, Breeze, they'd all make incredible coach because they were coaches on the field. They put in just as much work as anybody in that building. And I think, you know, those three would make incredible coaches, but they're in situations where they can pick, choose, do whatever the hell they want. But we talk about careers, you know, how Manning, Rivers, Breeze, all these people's careers changed. What about Sean Payton? He's revered as one of the best coaches, you know, in the league, one of the best coaches of all time, because he had, you know, him and Breeze's connection and, you know, ability to work together for all those years was incredible.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be another conversation of, I mean, this is going to be in the same vein of Belichick and Brady, right? What do they look like without each other? The answer for Breeze is easier. He retired, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
The question for Peyton now is going to be, what does he look like post-Breeze?
Then again, too, he's got 5 years, a body of work of 5 years at San Diego prior to Sean. So you can always look there and see the success he had there and what he was building on there, which is a lot easier than you can Brady, even though he stepped into a very, very talented team and did something this year that I don't know that anybody else could have and took them to a Super Bowl win. But nonetheless,
can you put Breeze in the top five? Can you put Breeze in your top five all time?
Yeah, I was, because when I said top seven, I was thinking, obviously, Brady, you have Montana, you have Manning.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like Breeze is right there, because Breeze is ahead of Marino for me. He's ahead of Bradshaw.
Sure. Is he ahead of Young? Steve Young?
I think he'd be right there with him. I think that'd be your 4 and 5.
Ahead of Johnny Unitas?
Let's be honest.
A little too far off for us.
Let's be honest. Those guys back then were kind of a joke.
Well, I won't
like
say
Joe
kind
Namath.
Of a joke
like I'll for... say this: like Joe Namath, personally, is one of the most overrated players that's ever played the game of football. When you like look at his stats and his actual ability, it's
hot take.
I mean,
there.
You did hand off the football 3/4 of the time back then.
Yeah,
I'll just say that it was a different. That was a different league. That wasn't even a different era. That was a different world. Yep. Of football, yep. And it's too far back for us. Like Chris and I recognize the name Johnny Unitas and Namath and what they did, but that doesn't.
I'll say this
factor for us.
Joe right. Namath as a career, 173 touchdowns, 220 interceptions.
Well, there you go.
Sounds about right.
Speaks it for you. So going over here's career
but he
stats,
wore a
guys.
Fur coat.
He did, and he wore it well, and he even shaved his legs and looked pretty good at
he
it.
He wore a fur coat, and he hit on Aaron Andrews drunk as a skunk on live television.
Oh, live really TV. Did. Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's go back to Breeze. Somehow this SBA Breeze got down a road that we needed to get down.
All right, let's go over his career stats, guys. 287 games with a record of 172-114. 7,142 completions out of 10,551 attempts. Whew, my arm's tired just saying it. Mm-hmm. 67.7% completion percentage for over 80,000 yards. In 5 years, Canton's doors are just going to open up. Nobody's going to say a word. There's going to be no question.
I mean, you just saying that, it's video game numbers. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah, 200. He's got more interceptions than a lot of people had touchdowns because his career was so long and he threw so much. 243 interceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot, but it's still the guy was just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. 571 touchdowns.
Ridiculous. I mean, when it comes to just statistical greatness, he's number two behind Brady. And that's just because Brady is still playing.
Still pumping
still
away.
Still playing somehow.
So
yeah. You know, and to see that picture of that guy at the draft, oh my God. You look at Brady's body, you go, that kid will never make it. He'll make 2 years. And look at him now.
Look at him now. Just shows you.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he took him to the playoff 9 times, 7 division titles in the 15 years that he was there. So he's winning the division every other year.
Not bad.
In a division that once upon a time was very competitive and then restructured a little bit and then stayed competitive.
Yeah. Almost then, 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when it came time for him to own that division, he freaking owned that division.
Yeah.
And remember, too, had it not been for a couple bad, bad blown calls, these guys had cracks at 2 more world championships.
Super Bowls. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Terrible calls.
I don't think anybody will ever say that Breeze left meat on the bone. No. I mean, I think somebody will, but I'm probably not going to take their opinion very
We all know deeply. Who will, and we all know that they're idiots.
Bayless? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Possibly. But, nobody's going to say that Breeze left any meat on the bone with what he did. And, you know, for what he was able to do for that city and how they rallied around him and how he could be the face of an organization for 15 years – at Amazing. The level that he was, and then just what he was able to produce every day is absolutely insane. I think and Chris, you and I were talking about this a handful of months ago with Brady. I kind of put Brady and Peyton, even though Peyton's already in, Brady and Peyton and Breeze kind of in the same category with a very, 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 very niche group of like the day you retire, you should just be in.
Yeah,
the 5-year period should not matter for a very select few people,
right?
And I feel like Breeze is in that category.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty funny, guys. We were talking about in this segment, we've been talking about 3 quarterbacks and then interjecting one more often than anyone else. Do you know the top 4 quarterbacks with 300-yard passing games all time?
Probably Brady, Breeze, Manning. And then
Rivers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are the top 4. Yep. That's something else, isn't it?
Yeah. But I ask for one thing when it comes to Brady, Breeze, and Manning. And that is like a 10-part docuseries of them just sitting down talking football.
Absolutely.
And their careers and everything that happened along the way. Kind of like Last Dance style. Just those three at a table talking.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine that? Or like could you imagine like those three running the Elite 11 camp? Or just doing game film breakdown for Elite 11s and what that would look like. Like those three have to go on tour almost.
Oh yeah.
And just do Q&As at 50 different cities for 3 hours around the country.
And they would sell out.
I'd pay $200 to see those.
And they'd sell out NFL stadiums.
Without a doubt. 100%.
Yeah, should see the coaching clinics. It dependent on who shows up. When Nick Saban's there, oh my God, you talk about well attended. Everybody wants to meet Nick Saban. It's the same way. These guys go out. I'm buying a ticket. I want to see him. I want to talk.
100%. Well, I mean, that's because you have those rarefied air of, you know, these guys are pro football gods. Like they're not. There's a difference between being a legend and then being a pro football god or a god in your sport. Someone you look at and you go, that's the guy. I mean, you have Hall of Famers and you have these three and you're like, anything they do and say, I'm probably going to go listen to and see what they got to say about this sport.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. They would, if I listened to them, they'd make me feel like I knew what I was talking about with football by the time I walked out of that room.
Mm-hmm. All right. Of the San Diego three guys, give me them in order of you think their careers.
Breeze, Eli, and then a far, far Philip Rivers third.
Yeah, it's Breeze, Eli, and then way down here is Philip Rivers. And that's,
Out of doubt, we really concur in that.
Yeah, and 100%. Again, this is like not let's shit on Philip Rivers. It's just you had a long career with a lot of yards.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Breeze had a long career with a lot of yards, a lot of success. Eli Manning had a good career with some good success. One person had no success in a lot of stats. So.
But I.
Well, three are Hall of Famers.
It'll be weird not seeing Manning and Breeze in uniform anymore.
Quite.
I've gotten over like the Manning thing because it's been so long. It's going to be weird seeing when Brady retires. It's like.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
guard. None of these guys are playing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when Brady and Rodgers hang it up, like that's the old guard. It is officially gone.
And I mean, we're forgetting about, you know, like Roethlisberger, but again, he's one of those that you're like, yeah, he's had a pretty good career, but not up to the level of these guys.
Well, yeah.
Number 100%. Six on the all-time passing 300 yards. You'll never guess who number five was behind the four. It might scare you.
Montana.
Chris? Probably Marino.
Oh,
Matt
no,
Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. Wow. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a shock. All right, guys. Drew Brees, without a doubt, should go down as one of the top quarterbacks, I think, of all time. And if you're going to quantify small quarterbacks, could be the best of all time.
Oh, so no
let's
doubt.
Let's now stay in the NFL and go to free agency. What is going on with free agency? We've already talked about the biggest issue we had in free agency with Dak Prescott being re-signed. But we've had some interesting things go on here lately, and a lot of these folks have stayed with their same teams. Chris Godwin got re-signed with the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks. Brandon Scherff, Trent Williams, Shaquille Barrett.
Yeah.
Smart on their part, keeping him up. But there are a few that changed. We've got at the number 10 ranked free agent changing, the highest change, Kenny Golladay from the Detroit Lions has moved over and signed a 4-year $72 million deal with the New York Giants.
Yeah, the Giants have done a lot of good work this offseason. They've had a really good offseason.
Yeah.
And Kenny Golladay he's the Detroit curse. You know, anybody in Detroit, they could be a monster, but no one cares because it's the Lions. There are very few exceptions to that rule because they're so damn good that you have to pay attention regardless of what team they're on. Kenny Golladay is one of those guys who is really good. I think, sleep on the fact that, he was playing for the Lions. He was getting force-fed the ball, blah, blah, blah. I think this is a humongous pickup for the Giants. I don't know why other teams weren't flocking to him. I think he's going to be a monster piece for the Giants, and I think he's going to give Daniel Jones a true number one receiver to, you know, throw to now, because he's been dealing with a bunch of guys. Now he gets a stud.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think what the Giants have been able to do, and that division has been, I mean, all over the news as far as the offseason goes so far, up and down. I still think that it is possible that the Cowboys bring back Dak Prescott and finish third in this division.
Yeah.
I am super bullish on Washington, and I'm starting to become very bullish on the Giants. I really like what Joe Judge is doing right now, even though he's very rookie, right? Well, not rookie, but he's very at the beginning stages of what he's doing with the Giants. They showed a lot of promise. That team is not 6-10 if Saquon Barkley doesn't go down. Yeah. That team might win that division ahead of Washington if Saquon doesn't go down.
And that's the thing. We're getting a healthy, rested Saquon back.
Yeah, a full Saquon comes back. You add in a guy like Kenny Golladay to take some pressure off of Daniel Jones. They figured out in the second half of the season some things they could do with Danny Dimes or Danny Dash that they hadn't really used before, and they kind of figured some stuff out with him. So I really like that. I love the Golladay pickup. I feel bad for Lions fans. You had to watch Calvin Johnson retire in his prime. Then you had to watch the best wide receiver since Calvin Johnson leave to go to the Giants for $70 million. Mm-hmm. They're living a tough life right now, but you know,
then their quarterback leaves down.
Yeah. Golladay to the Giants really affects that division in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. We had offensive guard Joe Tooney go from the Patriots to Kansas City. Now, they've addressed the need. Definitely addressed the need there.
Well, and people were talking about how, oh my God, the Chiefs have let go both of their starting tackles. Are they stupid? Well, not really. They let go of two very big contracts, two aging players. Now, offensive line is different. The two players they let go weren't crap. They're good players. But they bring in Joe Tooney, one of the best guards in the league. They sign Kyle Long coming out of retirement, who was an all-pro, and I think people forget how good he is, and he was just on a Bears team that sucked. And then they're also getting LDTF back, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Yes.
And that kid's stud.
You're getting three good linemen, and then you had injuries going into the Super Bowl. I think they're going to be fine. I think this is a great signing for them. This also hurts the Patriots big.
It does.
Big time.
This was one of – I agree with you, Chris. There were a lot of people, and me included, that were seeing them get rid of offensive linemen, and I was like, you better have a plan. Mm-hmm. Not like my word matters for anything. But for Chiefs fans, this was helpful to see that signing. When that scroll came across, Kansas City fans everywhere kind of took a deep breath, and they went, okay, we're getting it figured out. They signed a fantastic offensive lineman from an organization that knows how to win, and he's been there when they've done it. And now he's going to Kansas City, an organization that knows how to win. He's going to fit right in with that system and that style of play.
Yeah. And, I mean, like I said, him, Long, Tardif coming back.
Yeah.
One of those guys can kick the tackle if need be.
Sure.
Two of those guys can kick the tackle if need be. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
So I think they're in a good spot.
Tardif might be the best transition to tackle.
Probably.
Long will be interesting just because he's what he's coming out of.
Yeah.
And not a bad thing. Just interesting. That's all.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle's a guy who's played center, guard, and tackle. He's played them all because of injuries or what have you. So I think Tooney is a huge pickup for them.
Yeah. And look what the Patriots did. They love the tight ends. They picked up Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Two tight ends.
Go ahead, Cam.
I love what New England has done in this offseason because they've addressed a lot of needs. And I think the biggest question mark that people have is Cam at the quarterback position, which is a respectable question mark to have. But if we're looking at this from the point of view that New England signed their guy and they think Cam is their guy, then they have effectively addressed that need because they went out and got their dude. They also went out and they got two really high-level tight ends. This offense was rolling when they had two very, very good top five tight ends in the league. They addressed needs of depth on both sides of the ball. They addressed playmaking ability on both sides of the ball. This was really refreshing kind of to see from this New England team. And also, let me throw this out there. Re-signing Cam and signing a guy like Jonnu Smith might be a play to put the right pieces in order to call Houston and get the guy that's in Houston right now that doesn't want to be in Houston anymore. Now, at this moment, kind of a little untouchable. Totally get that. But at the time that these moves were made, maybe signing Cam and signing Jonnu is a way to entice people, or Cam is their dude and they're putting weapons around him and they're trying to go win another division.
Yeah. I mean, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, very good players, 25 and 26 respectively. It's tough for me to look at a team that needs so much. And yes, they've done a lot of work and they've done a good job, but you've spent $87.5 million on two tight ends. Your quarterback. Yeah. He had a bad year last year. I think we can all agree on that. He's working out, working hard. He's working with trash cans next to him because he's got to remember what he was last year. And that's trash. That's his words. He's even said it. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Let's hope it works. But my only thing is Jonnu Smith can flex out wide. Hunter Henry really can't. And that's from just a sheer athleticism. I mean, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry's not a Kyle Pitts type player. He's not a Gronk. He's not a, you know, one of these freaks that you can throw outside and he's just a mismatch all day. He had a big injury in 2018, and then 2019, I think he played 12 games. So there is a little concern there, but the Patriots do their vetting well. It's hard to look at a team and they go $87.5 million on two tight ends when they had so many holes. Granted, they have done a lot of work and they had a lot of money, but that's a lot of money for two tight ends.
Well, and it's really interesting too, because if we can go back to what Hunter Henry said when free agency started, do you remember what his words were about who he was looking for as a team?
No, I didn't.
He wanted a young quarterback that slings the ball around.
And he went to the complete opposite.
He ended up in New England with Cam Newton, who's coming off, as he put it, a garbage year.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting to hear what Hunter Henry was looking for. He left the thing he had, in my opinion. Yeah. He left the young gunslinger that's willing to move the ball around and ended up in New England, but it might be a great move for him. Tight ends have thrived well in that New England system.
Yeah, it's funny because, like you said, he left what he wanted, but, I mean, let's touch on that real quick. The Chargers get Jared Cook, who I think, personally, yes, older, better tight end than Hunter Henry. More of a game changer at the tight end position.
Okay.
So,
all right, guys, let's jump
over to
it.
I like what the Chargers have done too. I think adding Cook to replace Hunter Henry, I think was solid.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a couple big names, solid all pro players that have stayed put. Aaron Jones re-signed with the Green Bay Packers. Juju Smith-Schuster re-signed with the Steelers. Matt Milano, their linebacker, re-signed at Buffalo, and Marcus May re-signed at the Jets. Who would want that? But anyway, Darrell Williams also with the Buffalo Bills.
Before we go on, I want to touch on this Juju thing.
Okay.
I want to touch on the Aaron Jones thing. So you go first.
Well, there you go.
This Juju thing is very interesting to me. Yeah. Juju is a brand guy. He's all about building his brand. The TikTok, the dancing, the YouTube, the Twitch, the video games. I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with it when it starts to be talked about more than your profession, if that's not your profession.
Well, I think the signing in his contract's indicative of what he's trying to do. 1 year, $8 million. What's he trying to do?
This, to me, is a saving face contract. This is, let's be honest, the fans don't like me. A lot of Pittsburgh fans do not like Juju, and a lot of Pittsburgh fans were hoping he would go somewhere else, from what I've gathered. You mean to tell me that if you are a football player and you want to win, when the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens come knocking and say, hey, we want to sign you on a 1 year deal. That's what you're looking for. We'll sign you on that deal. Let's see if we can't, go get a ring. and you go, I think I'm going to take less money to stay in Pittsburgh. Now, he might love it in Pittsburgh. We don't know. But the from what the rumblings is, he was looking for a big market to go to.
Well, I think it's a contract boosting year, a proving year for him. I think that's why he asked. Only took 1 year.
Yeah, that's that. He was said he was from the beginning. He wanted a 1 year deal. I just don't understand why you go to a team that needs so much, is nowhere near a Super Bowl, when the Ravens and the Chiefs come knocking and offer you more money on a year deal. I think it's a saving face contract.
I agree with you, Chris, and touch on that real quick. The Steelers, so much to me right now, are a team. I don't know how they went 12-4 last year. This team could easily go 6-10.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are staring 6-10 in the face. Juju, I agree with you. He's more brand. I think he's a good receiver. I don't know if he's a one, and I think Chase Claypool thinks he's a one on TikTok, but I don't know how that converts.
They have,
but I do like Chase. Don't get me wrong. I like him.
They have two receivers who think they're Antonio Brown, but are nowhere near what Antonio Brown is when it comes to the stature of a number one receiver in Pittsburgh. Juju is a better two, and I think Chase Claypool is not even a two. I think Chase Claypool is a number three.
Yeah, but I think he's a heck of a number three.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like saying, but like when I think of, you know, you think the legendary duos, like even not so much legendary, but Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah.
I would take a TJ Houshmandzadeh next to my one over a Chase Claypool.
Gotcha. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm with you. Just that Steelers thing is just, it's weird. There's so many holes there. But I want to go back to the Aaron Jones thing, because a lot of people are bashing Green Bay for signing Aaron Jones when they have a guy like A.J. Dillon behind him who showed some progress last year. I think A.J. Dillon is a very serviceable running back right now for where he is in his career. I don't dislike him at all. But my thing was, if you can get a stud running back at the contract that they got him, who has little to no injury history, he's only gotten better. His last 2 years have been over 1,000 yards. That's such a win. I feel like I'm one of the few guys that think that Green Bay absolutely stole Aaron Jones out of free agency with the contract that they got him on, for the length that they got him for it.
4 year, $48 million. Yeah.
I don't think it's
$12 million a year for a game changing running back. Like, come on.
I don't think it's much as that, as it's like, why are we re-signing Aaron Jones? I think it's frustration with the organization that last year you draft Jordan Love, you have Aaron Rodgers, and then you draft AJ Dillon, you have Aaron Jones. Okay. So you draft those guys in the first, what, two rounds? I think it was first two rounds, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that was their one and two picks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next offseason, you're like, okay, well, you know, Aaron Jones is going to be leaving. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to get big money if he has a monster year. We got the back, you know, our future number one. And then you go out and sign this guy to 4 years, $48 million. And you're like, I can see where the frustration is, where Green Bay fans are, where you're like, that $48 million could have been used to go get, I don't know, a receiver or a safety, something like that.
Yeah. And I guess I'll play on the other side to it. If they thought that Aaron Jones is going to have a monster career and go out and get a monster contract, and then you realize that Aaron Jones is sitting there for less than $50 million, I don't think Green Bay knew that was going to happen. I think they were as surprised as everybody else that Aaron Jones's price tag was so low for what he's able to produce.
If anything, this shows you what's wrong with the NFL, and that's great running backs are extremely devalued because
very undervalued,
where the league is going.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's a shame.
But I'm so with you on the Juju thing. I'm glad you stopped and brought that up.
You know, there's two big defensive back changings in the NFC West too. And people might go big. Well, you've got a young Shaquille Griffin who leaves Seattle and moves over to Jacksonville, where he can play in good weather all the time. And also Patrick Peterson, the old man of the Cardinals, has left and has signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. So the NFC West has lost some very brand-name defensive backs this offseason.
And Richard Sherman. He is a free agent and has gone unsigned. Yeah. So that's three staples of the secondary in the NFC West, two of which for a long time Shaquille knew. Don't even get me started on the Shaquille Griffin thing. It's idiotic. It's dumb. We've been bamboozled. We've been hoodwinked. We've been led astray.
Agreed.
We'll take that from Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah,
I will take that.
Dave Chappelle from Men in Tights.
Man, it's, It's you draft this guy and you go, this kid's got a lot of upside. He turns into a pretty good player year one and two. Then he turns into a damn Pro Bowler. He's keep getting better. He's going to be an All Pro. You build him up and then you just go, okay, yeah, we're going to let you go.
We'll let you go.
When there's no secondary already in Seattle.
Yeah, so that one was interesting. I'm going to go, I mean, obviously I'm going to let you guys have that side of the coin because that's, it's a personal thing. A steal for Jacksonville with what can bring to the table.
Yeah, if we look at that side.
One, you get him back in warmer weather, like you said, Coach, but you get him back home. He's used to playing in Orlando, right down the road. Right. He's used to playing in Florida. UCF that's boy. Where he's from. Mm-hmm. UCF boy. And what he can bring immediately to this Jacksonville secondary and defense that needs that overall that they're looking for. Listen, Jacksonville is 7 draft rounds away from having a brand new looking team.
You know it.
I mean, they're 7 good decisions away from setting themselves up for the next decade. Not that they're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right. but they're 7 rounds away from setting themselves up for next decade.
The team they have now, what they've done in free agency, they're already a solid team. And the coaching change naturally. And who they're going to draft in the first round. They're already something to worry about. You know, they're not, the Jaguars are coming to town.
And if you look at personnel, I'm a huge CJ Henderson fan. Coming out of Florida, I thought he was CB1. Mm-hmm. He had a rough start to the year, but most corners do. Corner is probably the hardest jump now from college to pros. He picked it up in the second half. You put CJ Henderson, you put Shaquille Griffin, and in the slot, they got, Trey Herndon can play in the slot. Henderson can play in the slot. Shaquille Griffin can play in the slot. That's 3 damn good corners.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And young. And they're mostly, most of them are young.
Agreed. And I think, we have friends over at Symbol that run the sports market, Real Live Money, Real Live Market. The Jaguars at March 1 were a $22 a share team. They are now at $30 a share. In 3 weeks, they've grown from $22 to $30. Everybody is starting to buy into it. And I'm telling you, when that card gets handed in for Trevor Lawrence draft night, their stock is probably going to go up another $6 or $7.
Well, I mean, and you look at I'm looking at their defensive depth chart right now, and the youth, Josh Allen, Kalavon Chaisson, Davion Hamilton, Taven Bryan's a little old, but then you have Miles Jack, stud, Dakota Allen, last chance you standout, who's a actually really good football player, Joe Schobert, good player, Shaquille Quarterman, then you have Trey Herndon, CJ Henderson, now Shaquille Griffin. That is a damn good, mostly young defense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're solid. Absolutely. They could be scary a couple years down there. And you think Urban Meyer's not going to do a good job drafting players the way he recruited at Utah and at Florida
and at Ohio State.
And at Ohio State. Yeah.
And people were saying, what is Urban Meyer going to do? Well, Urban Meyer's always had his pick of the litter when it comes to recruits because everywhere he goes, he wins. Guess what? He now has pick of the litter from all those guys he potentially recruited to build this team too. So this is just like recruiting him. Who do I want that'll fit my team the best?
I think, I mean, anybody that's the only question mark you can have for Urban is what is he going to be like in game in the NFL? Cause he's never done it before. And that's a legitimate question to ask.
Yeah.
Everything other than that is just recruiting. Yep. It's all it is. It's finding talent, recruiting. And that dude is one of the greatest recruiters of all time at the college level.
And he's good at delegating. Does. He's learned as he's gotten older, I have to delegate because if I don't, my health goes down the tube. I go crazy. And so he's going to put a great staff around him. He's already started. And he's probably going to be that figurehead where if something needs to be said, I'm going to say it. But I'm going to have trust in my guys and I'm going to let them do what they do.
He doesn't have to travel as much. The off season, there's no off season traveling. There's no 365 days a year recruiting. None of that. That half of his life is gone. It's still up early to bed late, but half of the stuff he had to deal with in college is now gone. A well-rested Urban Meyer from what he's used to could be a scary guy.
Yep. I think it's a shiny future in Jacksonville. Guys, let's go over a couple unsigned free agents that have value. Melvin Ingram, unsigned. Alejandro Villanueva, somebody needs to plug a hole in their offensive line, a big dude. We've got Jadeveon Clowney, Eric Wilson, Sammy Watkins, Kelvin King, Austin Reeder, T.Y. Hilton, yep. Russell Okung still remain unsigned. So there's a lot of talent out there, and thank God we signed Chris Carson back. What do you know? What do you know?
I think Villanueva could be a guy that Kansas City could get for cheap to plug a hole on that offensive line. And I think Villanueva blocking for Patrick Mahomes would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And some good older players still unsigned. Chris mentioned on Richard Sherman, earlier, Alden Smith, Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods.
KJ Wright.
Unsigned, fellas.
KJ Wright probably had his best year.
You are right. Probably had his best year ever last season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
James Conner.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players out there. We've covered a lot, but I want to bring up one team that I feel like has had an incredible offseason. Okay. And that's the Washington football team.
Oh,
you franchise tag Brandon Scherff. Then you go out and get Curtis Samuel, a playmaker of all playmakers, someone you need for that team, whether it be Taylor Heinicke, whether it be Kyle Allen, whether it be, we'll talk about the third person. And then you go out and get William Jackson in the secondary, a very good quarterback. That's good. They are building on a very bright future by adding these pieces. Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin, Ohio State teammates, have been friends for a long time. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go and I think kind of tarnish their offseason. But I see the response to it, and I wonder what's going on.
Okay.
I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do. I think he's a funny dude. I think he's a tough guy.
Solid pro.
But I see Washington football team fans acting like they just signed Tom Brady. This dude's a below 500 quarterback.
Very below.
He has great moments, but not prolonged success.
Right. No. But, you know, he's plug and play. And I think that's what they look at.
But you had a guy that you signed to a 2-year deal in Taylor Heinicke that showed out on the biggest stage he possibly could.
And so, he's got a future if you invest in that future.
You have to invest in him. Now you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's probably expecting to walk in and be the starter. So the guy that you could have invested your future in is now going, well, what the hell? I thought I was going to be the guy. You're bringing this dude in. Either that's going to do one of two things. It's going to discourage him, or it's going to fuel him, and he's just going to kick his behind in training camp. I don't understand the signing. I do, but I don't understand the reaction to this signing as so monumental.
I would have understood. I don't even know if I understand the signing. I think you're a step ahead of me. I would have understood the signing if it was somebody like a Marcus Mariota, was a starter, now isn't, is looking to come in and compete. And as a starter, had success, whichever side of the fence you fall on with him, it doesn't matter. He's been successful as a starter. That would have made more sense to me. I don't get Fitzpatrick at Washington. He's 56-89 as a starter. He doesn't win a lot. He doesn't withstand success, as Chris pointed out. He's a meme of himself, so that's why a lot of people love him. I love him. Everybody loves him. Yeah. Nobody hates Fitzpatrick, but you're not going to get prolonged success with Fitzpatrick. You're going to get five really good games. You're going to get four really, really bad games, and then the other six are just a toss-up. And then he's going to get pulled for a game.
Now, we haven't thrown into the mix that potentially he could have been brought on to mentor Taylor, and it would be perfect at that should Taylor ever get knocked out of the game. You got to plug and play quarterback there. Now, that's a possibility because Ron Rivera is a very pragmatic coach. He's not this, I got to go grab a veteran and plug him in because Taylor doesn't have a lot of games under his belt. I don't think that's the case here. I think Ron Rivera really has some he's invested in, and I think he has some faith in Taylor Heinicke, and then I think Fitzpatrick is there to help to mentor, teach, and help out should an injury occur. I think that might be the route they're heading.
Yeah, and that entered my mind, but this also to me is a sign of Washington has no clue what they're doing with the quarterback position. When I saw this signing, I'm like, okay, you're going to bring him in. You're going to pay him more money than you're going to pay Heinicke. So automatically he's coming in thinking he's a starter, but is this a you know, a veteran leadership position, not for Heinicke. Are you going to draft a Trey Lance? That's the vibe I got from it. Are you going to draft a Trey Lance? Are you going to draft a Mac Jones? That's what I was going through my head is, do you even know what you're going to do at the quarterback position right now?
And are you gun shy from your drafting of Haskins? I don't think you should be, because do you know how many first round picks really miss?
A lot.
So, I mean, I think it's really overblown in the media about first round draft picks. Oh, it didn't pan out. Most of them don't. Over almost half the NFL is unsigned free agents.
Yeah.
43%, I believe.
I'll bring up one other team. A small thing. They're definitely not on the Washington standpoint or on the Patriots standpoint, but addressed two big needs, and that was the Las Vegas Raiders. They signed Nick Martin, right, the center from Houston, so they're shoring up the offensive line, and then they sneakily went out and signed Yannick Ngakoue.
Yep, get a good edge rusher.
From Baltimore to get a good edge rusher on defense. I think they're starting to build pieces. There's a couple more that I think they're waiting for the draft to get, so they're not spending a lot of money in free agency. But they could probably get a cheap Jadeveon Clowney for a year.
Yeah, and so they re-signed Richie Incognito too.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot to bring that up too. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, they bring in a guy like Kenyon Drake, game changer. No, but a heck of a punt returner and kick returner. So that'll help. I think they're sneakily kind of just doing stuff.
Yeah, and then of course I think we'd be remiss not to touch on this, but Tampa. Keeping the band together.
Yeah.
You could not have had a more perfect offseason. And they still have yet to sign Ndamukong Suh and Antonio
Brown.
Don't
have Suh yet, right.
I believe both of them end up coming back.
And Fournette could.
And Fournette could come back too. I think Fournette had a really good season this season. I think he might use that to leverage a little bit more money, a little bit more playing time. Not mad at it. Go get your money. I think he's best suited for Tampa in his role, but go make your money if you want to. To bring that entire band back together and to get them the way they got them, to get Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David for the contracts in which they got them.
Bargains.
Yep. Insane. That Lavonte David is such a bargain.
2 years, $25 million is a bargain for him.
I almost want to be mad at him for not taking more money. That's how much of a bargain this is.
He has so much. He's faithful to his team and his city.
And I get to how some people look at it. Well, he's 31, linebacker position. That's a tough take on your body. Once you get to that 30 level, you're starting to go, okay, is he on the decline? But he's also made a lot of money in his career as it is. He just won a Super Bowl. Your family's here. Why do you want to leave such a perfect position? He could have probably gotten money somewhere else, but why not stay in Tampa, retire a buck, and who knows, potentially win two more Super Bowls in the next 2 years.
Yep. I think two teams that have lost a little bit in free agency, the Ravens have lost two edge rushers, two. Mm-hmm. And, sorry, Cam, but the Houston club lost their best wide receiver in Will Fuller, and they also let Nick Martin, their center, go. So The fire sale at Houston continues.
Hey, but at least they got a running back this time.
Yeah, so we get Marvin Ingram. We signed Desmond King, the safety from Tennessee. Very good safety. I like him playing. I am terrified of the Miami Dolphins, right? I feel like that's a sentence we can finally use, right? The other thing, too, we totally didn't even touch about this as far as the Fitzpatrick thing goes. We're now going to find out if Tua is an everyday player, which he should be. He should have never gotten benched in the first place, but that's a different conversation. But adding a guy like Will Fuller in the slot that he loves to run, you know, you move him around. He's the top off of, you know, he's the wide receiver that takes the top off the defense kind of guy. If he can stay healthy in that system, Tua is going to have a field day throwing to these guys.
And I saw a lot of people saying, oh, you know, well, they're signing Fuller. They're not going to draft a receiver. That's BS. That's the dumbest thing I've seen with overreactions from fans. Well, they signed this, so they're not drafting this. No. Just because Will Fuller signed on, what was it, a one-year deal, I believe?
I think so.
Yeah, it was a one-year deal to be determined on the money right now. Yeah. You can still use that pick and go, hey, Jalen Waddle, hey, Ja'Marr Chase, hey, Devontae Smith. One of those three guys is going to be there.
Yeah.
And you could even trade back, get more picks, and still probably take one of those guys.
Yes. So, oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this, the Dolphins are scary. It all is on Tua, though. Tua has to show more this year than he did last year.
It is, unless the Dolphins are not done trading with the Texans.
And that's a possibility.
It is. They have the ammo necessary to knock on Houston's door and say, we would like your quarterback.
In my understanding, they already went to Seattle on that, too.
Yes.
And it didn't work out.
Miami had talks with Seattle. But personally, if you ask me, do you want Tua or Deshaun Watson? It's Deshaun Watson every single time.
100%.
Yeah. I don't care about the future. I don't care about what he could be. I'm getting a guy that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you on that.
All right, guys, let's move over to NCAA tournament basketball.
Is that a couple rounds right now?
It is. As a matter of fact, we're right in the middle of the second round games. Guys, one of the big – we were talking about some games that we were really looking forward to. Of course, Gonzaga we thought would outclass the field, and thus far they have done so. Mm-hmm. Chris, I believe your pick of Ohio over Virginia in the first round is one of the interesting picks that has come to fruition here.
Yeah, it's again, Virginia. I will never be sold on Virginia after what they did 3 years ago now with losing in the first round as a one seed. The ACC was a down year, and Virginia was not a dominant team like they should have been, in my opinion. You know, you win the national title 2 years ago, and you come back. Ohio was a tough team, and you lay an egg. And I wasn't high on many of the ACC teams, except for Virginia Tech, stupidly, because of the down year of the ACC. So, didn't really surprise me.
Oh. All right, so that game was a rather good call on your part, Chris. But the big, big news, I think, of the first round, Cam, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Oral Roberts over Ohio State in the first round, a 15 over a 2 seed.
Yeah, that was huge. We talked about Ohio State, if they could settle in, could be a team that could make a run to the national championship game. And I don't think that was far-fetched to say. When Ohio State hits on all cylinders, then they're a very scary team. But the fact that Oral Roberts beat Ohio State and then won in this, you know, they're making, you know, they won in the second round, right? Yeah, they've already played their round.
They beat Florida.
They did. Yep. They just beat Florida, which super happy about. Always happy when Florida loses in anything. This is awesome to see, right? This is the Cinderella story that everybody looks for, except for we have a few on the page right now that are still active and looking to punch their ticket. So, but Oral Roberts, man, absolutely. That was huge. And they were the better team. That's the thing, too, is like,
yeah.
And I seem to recall somebody on this panel saying the biggest question is if they can show up.
I think that was Coach. You're right. I think Coach did say that.
I don't know if I said that. But anyway, if they did, okay, good. But here's another interesting statistical thing. We start the tournament without Kentucky. We start the tournament without a Duke. Now, North Carolina is knocked out in the first round. And I think this is the first time since 1976 we haven't seen one of those three in the Sweet 16. Now I'm going out of my memory here.
Well, it was 76 for the first time since Duke or Kentucky hadn't been in the tournament together. One of those two hadn't been. I think you're probably going to have to go deeper that Duke, Kentucky, or North Carolina haven't been in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this has been crazy, and Michigan State was a play-in game.
And they got out. Beat.
Yeah, UCLA was an 11 seed, had to play in. They're into the Sweet 16 now because they just beat Abilene Christian today.
They did take out Abilene. That was a tough game from the start. It looked good.
They beat them by 20. They pulled away in the second half.
They pulled away. Good.
But, yeah, it's weird. It's this – this is a year that's setting up for a new blood, right? The blue blood versus new blood. This is setting up for a new blood year to kind of show up and show out, which is, you know, awesome. Yep. Turns out also the Pac-12 is really good at basketball.
Yeah, they really are. Chris, you say it's some sooth here, buddy, because Oregon State is doing exactly as you predicted. They took out a good. They really made Tennessee look bad, Cam. I hate to say that, but I'm sorry. They really made Tennessee look bad. You were Okie State.
Yeah.
I thought we said in the pregame that we weren't going to talk about this.
Oh, okay. All right. We're not going to talk about that.
And here's the thing. And listen, I am a Vol fan until the day I die, but you guys know I'm very unbiased when we talk about this.
Yeah, or at least I try to be as best I can.
I picked Tennessee as a bias, but anybody calling that an upset probably didn't watch either team down the stretch.
Right. Right.
Oregon State was just playing so well, and Tennessee is a team that has talent, but they do not have anybody that they can put the ball in their hands and say, "We need you to go get us three buckets." And they go get three buckets. Tennessee just doesn't have that guy. Fulkerson went down after the Florida game. He never came back. No post presence. This was set up for Oregon State to win. And in the fashion that they did win, while it pissed me off for 40 straight minutes, I wasn't shocked in the way that it happened. They controlled the area of the courts that they needed to control. And we just looked ugly.
Cam, and I believe we even touched on it, the fact that one of the teams that can look bad and has, and if they do, will not go anywhere, was Tennessee, was one of those.
100%. 100%.
You know, it's funny when you said they didn't have a player to go put the ball in the hoop. My mind immediately, because he felt like he was there for 20 years, was Scottie Hobson. I'm like, you mean to tell me Scottie Hobson wasn't playing this year? Because it felt like he was at Tennessee. He was there for 8 years, it seems.
Yeah, I did. We didn't have Chris Lofton to go shoot a three over Kevin Durant's outstretching arms to get us a bucket.
There you go.
All right, guys, and how about the 8 seed Loyola of Illinois? First, they take out Georgia Tech. Then they take out the number 1 seed Illinois Fighting Illini and are now playing Oregon State.
And I want to say this. Illinois did not impress me whatsoever. And I think I said before going into the tournament that I think they were the most overhyped team in the nation. The Kofi Cockburn, I think his name was, the big man for Illinois. Everybody was hyping him up, saying, "Oh my God, this guy's so great." He did not, personally to me, yes, he scored a lot of points, but that's because both big men were battling. He did not look like a polished big man. His footwork was off. He looked to be out of shape when it comes to conditioning. He was like laboring up and down. Granted, it's because probably you're going to say, "Oh, well, he played a lot. Oh, the offense." Okay, whatever. Personally, I don't see the hype in him that everybody was preaching. The Kurtwig, the kid for Loyola,
Kurtwig
is a meme legend now. An incredible defensive play, by the way, on Ayo Dismunu in the closing moments of the game to knock that ball out of his hand and off his thigh. The better team won. And Loyola is not an 8 seed. They are more close to a 4 seed.
Yeah, this team is very, I'm with you on that. I think that, you know, we talked about it, and I think that Illinois was that stock that was rising and it was being bought up, and nobody really knew why, but everybody bought into the stock going up. And then there had to be a pullback. There's a pullback in every market.
And they were available on Robinhood.
Exactly. There's a pullback in every market, and it had to happen. And unfortunately, Illinois' pullback came in the NCAA tournament. And against a team that is used to being in these positions. And Krutvig, even at the age of 37, which I think is his current age right now, was putting up numbers.
Yeah. I mean, he finished with 19, 12, and 5.
Wow.
Yeah. He was 50% from the field with 18 shots. Like, this is a guy that this Loyola team and should not be scared of anybody in the tournament outside of Gonzaga and Baylor at this point.
This might be the most shocking thing. Kurtvig is only 22 years old.
Well, he looks 47.
I will put my hands up and say I was huge on Ayo Dosunmu when we were talking about it. He's a very good player.
Absolutely.
But let's be honest, he didn't show up. 38 minutes, 9 points. You're the stud of your team. You got to do something more than 9 points.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, again, going back to like what you were saying about Cochran, he at least showed up on the stat page.
Yeah.
He got outworked by Krutvig. He just did. Ayo, that was a rough game. You know, young kid, he's going to bounce back. He's still going to be a top 15 draft in the NBA this year because you look at what he can do on the court. He's a stud athlete. He's somebody that people are going to salivate over.
Yeah.
But again, I think if you were guessing who was going to be the first one seed to lose, you would have picked Illinois.
I would have picked Illinois.
I don't know if you'd have picked the game or the round, but no. You'd have picked Illinois.
But the team.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, everyone's talking about Krutvig, but I love this kid. I love the way he plays. Marquise Kennedy for Loyola. Their guard, 6'1", 174. He had a good game. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, let me pull it up right here. Yeah, he only played 18 minutes, but had 14 points. Impactful, athletic, just seemed to be that spark when Loyola needed it. And I'm not mistaken, this is the only game all year that Illinois never had a lead in.
I think that's right.
I think that was the stat they showed.
All right, guys, we got a couple more teams in this round I want you guys to address for me. And Chris, here's somebody you were very high on. Syracuse has taken out San Diego State University and the number 3 seed West Virginia and is in the round at 11 seed with who we expected to be their number 2 Houston Cougars. But Syracuse.
Yeah, I thought they'd lose to West Virginia. I'm not going to lie. But they have looked great. And again, I said, Jim Boeheim. One of those coaches you don't want to see across the floor from you in the tournament at all. Right now, they are a tough-looking team. It's going to be a good game with them in Houston. That could be the classic of this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And anytime, you know, Boeheim's coming in with that, it's crazy that a 2-3 defense can do what it does in college basketball. But it just does. It does it, and it does it well. I love the idea of what Houston wants to do on offense versus what Syracuse wants to do defensively. I think that's going to be a lot of fun there. I think some people thought that Houston may have been a little bit overrated as a 2 seed. They struggled with Rutgers. That was a close game, but they made it through. And they're in the round of 16, and that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Guys, we got a couple good ones on tap tonight. USC plays Kansas, a 6-3 matchup there. We got a number 10 Maryland at a number 2 Alabama. And I don't care with that 10 in front of Maryland. That's going to be a good game.
Maryland's a good team.
But a terrific, terrific looking Oregon Ducks team. Just really outclassed the number 2 Iowa team, which I won't say surprised me. But the way they did it, if they play like they continue to play, they're somebody to reckon with.
And Cam, we were talking about this. As the resident Oregon fan, I said to you, we are bottle jobs. We've had more impressive teams than this who should have gone further and just blew it. So going into this game, I was fully expecting another Oregon classic here. We have a good team, but we have a chance. We're going to throw it away. Mm-hmm. I was really wrong.
Yeah, I think this is one of the few times where I was higher on your team than I think you were. And your hesitation absolutely comes with the history to be hesitant in that moment. So I get that. But man, I kept saying that if this Oregon team figures it out, and this is a scary team, I think Oregon beats either team that shows up to play with them. I think we have a date in the Elite Eight, and it's Oregon and Gonzaga. And if this Oregon team shows up against Iowa, that's going to be fireworks.
And you know what was the odd thing about this type of game they played? They were the only team in the tournament that suffered a cancellation because of VCU and COVID. They did not have a game, and they looked exceedingly sharp in this game against Iowa, playing probably one of the best big men in the country, who's probably going to win player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they just looked tremendous.
They did. They're very – sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, you go. You're good.
I was just going to say they did. They looked very sharp. That team and what those guards are able to do in and out, just everything they wanted to do, they found their spot on the court. And that was awesome to see. And they just kept chopping away at Iowa. And finally that dam broke and Iowa never recovered. And also, anytime it's a color v color matchup on TV, I'm here for it. That yellow versus green was awesome.
And
looking good.
And I'm going to say, I put a tweet out, and I'm going to say this again. If Luka Garza goes undrafted because of what these experts say, I have lost all faith with NBA basketball. And I've seen people say, he can't play, but he can't play defense. And saying that about the NBA is big. Shut up. This dude plays just like Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic, not a good defender. I don't care if he can't play good defense. This kid is a stud. He is a baller. He has range for days, and he proved it. He was pulling up from the logo on some of these threes and splashing them down. Yeah. And he's a hard worker.
Gym rat. That's right.
And I don't care if he doesn't meet the matrix. He's not quick. He can't play deep. I don't care. Because guess what? This kid will do anything you ask him to. He should get drafted, and it'll be a crime when he doesn't.
Yes, it he should be drafted. He should be drafted.
The thing with him is, if he gets a half step quicker, it's a different thing. I think the easy thing for him is everybody knows what the knock with him is going to be. It's not like, well, he can't defend the corners and he can't shoot free throws and he sucks from 15 to 18 feet out, right? It's not like an and. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if this kid was a half step quicker across the line, we'll love him. And so it's easy, I guess, for him in that sense that he knows what he has to work on. But I'm with you. If you're a player of the year, you deserve to go to the next level. And Tim Duncan wasn't terribly quick. No, he does deserve to get to that next level. And people that are making that, he's a little bit slower kind of thing. I do look to Jokic like you do. Jokic is a better passer than Garza is.
Yeah.
But Garza's scoring ability, his court vision, and his ability to play help side defense and communicate on the court will get him a one contract in the NBA. It just has to.
And I will say this. If I'm not mistaken, Obi Toppin was the Naismith Player of the Year last year, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
I will go out on a limb, and it's not even a limb I'm afraid to walk out on. I think Luka Garza is a better player than Obi Toppin coming out of college right now. Mm. Is he as flashy? No.
No.
But Obi Toppin was drafted, what, number 5, was it? Or was it 8?
He was top 10, wasn't he?
I think 8. He was top 10. Yeah.
He was number 8 in the Knicks. So he had to
And last time I checked, he's not setting the world on fire.
No.
He's flashy. He was the flash. He's the athlete. He can dunk. He can do this. This kid, Luka Garza, right now, if I was a GM, I'd take him in the first round because guess what? He's a stud. He is a stud.
Yep. All right, guys, let's go through the games that are coming on tonight and just give me a winner. All right.
Okay.
Maryland, Alabama. Chris?
I'm high on Maryland, so I'm going to stick with them.
Cam? I'm going with Alabama.
Okay. USC, Kansas.
Again. Evan Mobley. And I think USC will handle him because guess what? Pac-12 shown. We're not just a football conference anymore.
And you know what that could do? That could line up an Oregon-USC game. What do you think, Cam?
The Mobley brothers. I'm with Chris on this one. I think they get over Self. This is a game in an area where Bill Self shows up in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. This is setting up for Bill Self to lose this game by 15. And people to question him, which is ridiculous. But this is setting up for him, for this to be like a 12 to 15 point loss for him tonight. And I got to tell you, I go back to what I said before. I don't think Oregon loses to either team that shows up on that line next to them in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We got Oral Roberts, Arkansas matchup, Villanova, Baylor matchup. Let's see who else we got going tonight.
Florida State's playing. We got that.
That's a good game coming up. The Colorado, Florida State, big game, guys. Who you got there?
Colorado. God, Colorado by a good amount.
I think I said going into this game is if Colorado could slow Scotty Barnes down, they would have a very good shot. I'm going to go with, and I'm going to bring it up after this. I'm not letting y'all change my mind again. I'm going with Florida State because I would like to point to the fact that when we were writing and we all picked our picks before we got on the show.
Yeah.
I looked at that Texas game and I said, Shaka Smart's 0-2. He's going 0-3. He sucks so far in the tournament with Texas. He's going 0-3 with them. And I wrote in, who was it? Was it Oral Roberts that beat? No. Who beat Texas?
It was Abilene.
It was Abilene.
So I was like, he's going 0-3. And then we got to talking, and you guys were like, there's no way he goes 0-3. They've recruited well. Texas is back, but just not in this the right sport. All right, you know what? Screw it. You changed my mind. I'm going with Texas. So screw you guys for changing my mind.
you're welcome, I think. I'm sorry. Either one.
Could you take it at Colorado, Florida State?
I'm going Florida State.
Chris? Colorado. Florida State.
I'm taking Colorado.
Colorado.
And I took LSU over Michigan tonight. So.
And I was saying I think we all agreed that Michigan Florida LSU game was happening. That's going to be a good one too.
Yeah.
You got who?
Yeah. LSU. It's halftime right now. Michigan's up one.
Halftime. Michigan up one. Chris. Michigan LSU.
I'm a homer with what Juwan Howard is doing at Michigan, and I picked Michigan to go through.
All right, guys. That pretty much wraps it up, but I tell you what, I am looking forward to a Pac-10 game between USC and Oregon. I really want to see that in the next matchup. If things fall the way, we hope that they will. So, Cam?
Well, that would be fun.
It would.
Yeah. Coming into today, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the SEC had 11 of the 23 teams left in the tournament.
Yeah,
now that number's changed ACC a little bit. Has stunk it up, except for Syracuse.
And the Big not Ten only the ACC, lost the seven, Big Ten, nine. Yeah,
the Big Ten aren't as good as everybody thought they were, but that happens in every sport every year.
Yep, and they showed it, on the grandest stage, which also almost happens in every sport every year.
And like I said, Texas is back; they're back home.
Back home.
There you go. Yep. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Does Shaka Smart? Is his job in trouble? Like, do we have to start worrying about that if you're Texas?
I think I think his history allows him a little more time. I think what he's done at other schools allows him a little more time.
I think they'll chalk this year up to being so crazy happens again next year, he's got to be gone.
It might be that.
It will be interesting with how it's ended with Shaka the last few years and the fact that Indiana is a vacancy. But that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
So, but we appreciate you guys joining in for us. You can find us on Twitter, Sports Summit Pod. You can find us online, shootingthesportsish.com. Down in the description below will be our Patreon. We have officially loaded it up. We're active on our Patreon. You can get all of our content early. You can get some content that will never be seen by the light of day, which for some of us is probably a good thing.
Could be.
And then, yeah, absolutely. So there you go. So subscribe to the Patreon. Click on that link below. Like, subscribe.
Go Ducks.
Share. Yeah, and go Ducks. I'm on the Oregon and Houston bandwagon, so go Cougars, go Ducks. Is that it? Anybody got
that? Oh, I thought we were going the outro. Right. I'm like,
here we go.